Aloha. Welcome to The Conversation. I'm Yenji Denise in for Catherine Cruz. It's Wednesday, March 18th. Should Hawaii public school students be allowed to have cell phones in classrooms? A bill moving through the legislature would ban phones for the entire school day, what's known as a bell-to-bell ban. That means no phones in class, during lunch, or between periods, with some exceptions for learning or emergencies. Across the country, there's been a surge in similar policies, with 26 states now banning or limiting cell phone use in the classroom. Supporters say it reduces distractions, bullying, and helps kids focus on learning. But does a full ban go too far? We want to hear from you this morning. Should phones be banned in Hawaii schools, or should students and parents get to make the call? The number to reach us is 808-941-3689. Aloha. This is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Yenji Denise. We are joined this morning by Representative Scott Matayoshi, Sarah Milianta-Laffin, who teaches at Ilima Intermediate, and Anson Lee, senior at Kalani High School. Welcome to you all. We are talking this morning about phones in Hawaii schools. You can join our discussion, too, by calling us 808-941-3689. We're focusing today on a bill that Representative Matayoshi has written and is pushing through this session. Representative, tell us about the bill that you've written and what it would do.
Yeah, I introduced House Bill 1559. What it would do is basically ban cell phone use by students bell to bell. So all the entire school day, lunches, recesses, especially during class time. There are a couple of exemptions for medical use, emergency situations, if a school-wide emergency is declared. I think the most important thing that this bill does, though, is it relieves teachers and schools of the liability they might face when taking or confiscating a cell phone from a student. And that's really big. When I was a teacher, and from all the other teachers I've talked to, teachers are afraid of implementing the cell phone ban policy because if they take the cell phone and they put it in their pocket or they put it in their desk drawer and it gets lost or stolen or broken, then they could be held liable for that damage. And you know, we don't pay teachers enough already. I can't expect teachers to foot the bill of that. So teachers generally just don't want to take the risk. And if you don't have implementation, you really don't have any kind of law or policy.
Yeah, this bill is following Board of Education, which basically implemented what I understand is a similar ban. But what you're saying is the difference is this liability piece.
One of the big things is the liability piece, both for the school and for the teacher. Another big part of it is that it requires the parent or guardian to come and get the cell phone that was confiscated. So it does not allow the teacher or the school to give the cell phone back to the kid at the end of the day, at the end of the class period or whatnot. It creates that friction to require the parents to come in to not only to alert the parent that their child was using the cell phone in the school, but also to create that friction to, kind of annoy the parent a little bit, maybe make the student more hesitant to use the cell phone if they know their parent is going to have to drive down to go get it.
Yeah, we're going to get into that pain point in a little bit. But first, let's go over to Millie, who's a teacher, as we mentioned, at Ilima Intermediate. Millie, tell us, as a teacher, what is the current policy? Because my understanding, as it is right now, it's kind of school by school and even classroom to classroom.
And thank you so much for covering this important topic. Yeah, right now, the focus has been local control. So that could be every school, even every classroom could have a different policy. So I'm an elective teacher. So at my school, I see kids from six different grade level teams. So those are six policies in my elective classroom that may be a little bit different. And so it's a big management challenge for how to run a classroom. And what I applaud the rep for doing here is the idea of like teachers, like I love being a teacher. I hate being the phone police. So I think it's a really important topic.
Yeah, and what is the impact that you see when a phone is allowed in the learning space?
You know, it's different for every kid, and I think that can be the hard part about what you're looking at. But the focus post-COVID, I tell people all the time that education really changed after the pandemic, and the attention spans are much shorter. Conflict through the phones carries over into our classrooms, which can also interfere with instruction.
Okay, let's go over to Anson Lee now, who, as we mentioned, is a senior at Kalani High School. Anson, tell us, what is the policy in your school?
Yeah, sure. So There's not really any clear-cut policy, but it is expected. Like, students should be off their phones when in class during instructional time. But during recess and lunch, it's kind of just you can have your phone out, you can do things on your phone, go on social media, take a break on your phone. But other than that, it's kind of pretty lax. Like, it varies from classroom to classroom. Some teachers might require you to put your phone away, put them in like a pouch or something on the wall. And some teachers might just tell you, as long as you're not using it when I'm teaching or talking, then it's fine.
Do you find it to be a distraction?
A lot of times, not really. I feel like, though, having the phone like in a pocket or next to your side, it can be distracting. So you might feel the urge to pick it up. I feel it sometimes. But other than that, if your phone is out of the view, though, I agree, like, it just takes it away and you're kind of completely focused on what the teacher's saying. So, yeah, phones can kind of be distracting at times.
Okay, we want to welcome in a caller now, and thank you so much. Stephen is calling in from Maui. Stephen, what do you want to share with us this morning?
Hi. Well, I want to first say that I support the new policy that is slated to be enacted. My experience with teachers teaching students in the classroom goes back decades, and I remember at the onset of this cell phone technology, I saw the power that these devices have and what they do to not just the young mind, but, you know, adults like us, our minds too. They rewire them, in my opinion. And in the educational process, I think that that's the negative.
Well, thank you so much for that. And sort of building on that, you're absolutely right. Most of us do have the experience of being distracted by our devices. We did want to hear from an expert on the impact of those distractions on kids themselves. Here is Britt Young, a marriage and family therapist right here in Hawaii.
There is something about engaging with the world that is so valuable for our children. It doesn't have to always look like free play, but free play is one of those bigger, you know, experiences where we learn about the world. We learn facial expressions because we're engaging with other kids. We are learning how to be safe, you know, because we're playing games out in the world, for example. We're also learning, you know, rules. There's leaders, there's followers. So I think what concerns most of us from a mental health perspective are the opportunity costs of phones. When we're on the phone and when we're actually overly engaged with anything, we are not exactly interacting with the world and nature as we really should be as humans. And when it comes to the developing brain, we learn so much from interacting with others and being out in the world. As I mentioned, you know, whether it's social cues or rules or boundaries, we learn all of that. So when we're, you know, too much on our phones and on our devices and in that world, we are sort of not getting that stimulus from the outside world. And I think that's where most people have their issues and concerns. It's not always about what they're engaging with on the phone itself. It's what they're not engaging with outside in the world.
Yeah, Millie, I would love for you to build on what we just heard from Britt about not engaging with the outside world. What impact do you see these devices having on kids in your classrooms?
Sure. So I'm a middle school teacher, and so much of middle school is that social development of how to interact with each other, how to handle conflict, how to, you know, friendships that start in elementary might not continue into middle school. It's a lot of emotions, and which makes middle level education so critical. But what I love what the speaker had said, when I think about when I talk about cell phones, there are three things, these three S's. One, school needs to be synchronous, so kids in real time need to have that face-to-face communication where they're seeing your emotional reaction, they're understanding what's going on. A sanctuary, school should be a break from the likes and the shares. You know, it should be a special place. And then safety. So I think real safety comes from like following teachers' instructions and not necessarily listening to TikTok. So those three S's, I think that hits that perfectly about what we want for our kids.
Yeah, Representative Matayoshi, you also were a middle school teacher in Nanakuli for 3 years, I understand. How much of your personal experience working in the classroom informed this bill?
Well, a lot. I mean, as a middle school teacher, I taught seventh grade science out at Nanakuli. I remember, and you know, I'm old, so we didn't have a lot of cell phones back then, but we did have electronic devices. We had MP3 players, some cell phones kind of wandering around. But teachers didn't want to, including myself, we didn't want to take the cell phone away just because it gave us so much liability on ourselves to take those away. So it was kind of a nerve-wracking experience, I would say.
Yeah, and when you have a student who is engaged with something that's not that what you're teaching, I mean, that has to be very difficult because you're trying to get everyone moving at the same pace. And if you have some students that are on a device, surely that is difficult.
It's very difficult. And students are smart. They had a ringtone. It's probably still in existence, this super high-pitched ringtone that a lot of older teachers can't hear. I think it's called the mosquito or something like that. But anyway, it'll ring audibly to the students, and all the students around them will be able to hear it, but the teachers won't be able to hear it. So it's
like
that
a dog whistle for kids.
Kind of like a dog whistle. when I taught, I started teaching at 21, so I was young enough to hear this thing. So I would catch them, and I know a lot of other younger teachers probably share the same experiences. But I know for the older teachers who can't hear it, and myself included at this point in my life, that distraction is there in the classroom that will distract other kids, but that the teachers can't, you know, have a difficult time catching.
That is so interesting. I have not heard of that. I think I'm also in the dog whistle category on that. Anson, I want to get your thoughts. You know, you did mention that in your school, it's been not allowed, obviously, during certain instructional periods, but, you know, during lunch periods and during breaks, kids can be on their phones. What's the dynamic, do you think, that you see? And how do you think that would change if this were enacted and you couldn't have the phone at lunchtime or during a break?
Yeah, so like the dynamic right now, I feel like a lot of students at my school, they will use their phone sort of as like a, to take a break, to take a mental break, to distract themselves, like kind of scroll on social media, because that's what we're all used to now, like feeding off content. And I feel like this dynamic would kind of change in the fact that like now students are going to be a lot more they might be more interactive with each other, or they might start to develop negative feelings about these rules and start to kind of protest and go against them and be more on the sneakier side of things and kind of start sneaking phones around and kind of just itch by, get away with it, you know? So yeah, that's kind of what I would think would happen.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I'm interested in that first component that you mentioned, the idea that people would be more engaged and more interacting with each other, because that's of course what we want, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. And I feel like that's a good thing to kind of develop these social interactions, because that's what school's for. That's like, you're not going to be in these kind of environments when you grow up, when you go to college, get a job. Like, you're spending 5 days a week with these same group of people for basically almost an entire year, 9 months, right? And these kind of environments are something you don't get in the real world once you turn 18 and get a job. So I feel like being able to develop social skills now as a child and kind of learn from mistakes, lessons, gain experience, things like that, it's really good to have. And phones do take away from that.
Interesting. Let's hear from another educator now. This is Cambria calling in from muddy Maui. Hope you're staying dry out there. Cambria, good morning.
Aloha, thanks. This is so important. I don't need to repeat. I'm a teacher. I don't teach in the schools partly because I don't want to be a police. I teach music lessons at home, and I'm also a therapist, mental wellness coach for young people, all ages. And I would repeat everything everyone just said, so that's boring. So I thought of a little story. I had one of my violin students was dropped off by the mother, and her best friend came because her best friend's going to spend the night afterwards. And she hadn't been in the same class with her best friend. They, you know, have a bond that's important to them. And one of them's really wanting to play her new violin song for her friend, but her friend was on her phone and never even noticed that this really mattered to my student. And then she kept interrupting her from playing her song to try to show her things on her phone. And my heart just broke. I'm like, they love each other. They have a chance for bonding and connection that they haven't had all day. And I try to foster that. And I had to, you know, remove the phone and say, she really wants to play for you. Could you listen to the song and try to help? It was great that I had the chance to do that. But so I'm really for this bell to bell, because those moments at lunchtime and in between. The addiction is intense. I'm struggling with it myself. And our brains are not wired. We're wired to read and engage in person. So I'm all for this. And thank you so much for this important conversation.
And Cambria, thank you for sharing that story. Amelia, I would just love to hear what you think about what she just shared.
Well, I think it's so important, and I think the teachable moment that she shares is that she, as the adult, had the moment to make the help the kid understand you're ignoring your friend. And so that social interaction that is key, and if we're talking about how are we as adults setting the example, how are we promoting this, that we have to make obvious to kids what they don't see to help them learn how to be functional adults. And so she did exactly what I would hope teachers and adults would do to encourage kids to interact with their friends.
You know, up at the beginning of our conversation, we did mention, and Representative, you mentioned this as well, that when a phone is confiscated, a parent would have to come to school to pick it up. We did speak to another senior at Kalani High School, Jaden Tran, about that penalty structure, which he thinks would be quite effective.
I do, like, see the merit behind that, and I think it would, like, make me less inclined to want to, like, bring out my phone because it would be such a hassle for, like, my parents to come, or, like, for my classmates, if their parents had to come to school. And I guess as a high school, like, senior, a lot of my classmates, like, drive, or, like, they come to school, like, by themselves. So, really, their parents aren't, like, coming to the school at all. So, if they need to come to the school just to pick up their kids' phones, like, that'd be really inconvenient. And, yeah, it would probably discourage the students from using their phones.
Representative Barayoshi, I can only imagine the car ride home from that pickup. I mean, you're essentially bringing on, guaranteeing a lecture from mom or dad.
That is what the bill wants to guarantee. We want to create that friction in order to have the parent be very annoyed and inconvenienced. Not very annoyed and inconvenienced, but inconvenienced enough that the student knows that there's going to be a consequence at home if their cell phone is confiscated.
Yeah, Anson, what do you think about the efficacy of that kind of pain point for enforcing this bill?
It definitely is a big pain point, and I think it will steer away a lot of students. But there is still a side where some parents might just be like, this rule is nonsense. I'll get the phone, you break, like, and then there would be no kind of, action taken by them to, like, kind of have their kids stop using the phones, and their kids might just be doing it, bringing their phone back to school, and then, you know, it kind of gets into that process. But overall, I do think having parents get involved is kind of like a good friction point. It would be like, I really don't want my mom or dad to come get this phone from me from school. So,
as we mentioned off the top, 26 states have now enacted this ban. We did speak earlier to Senator Brian Schatz. He has been strongly against phone usage in schools. Let's take a listen.
Phones are unhelpful for education. They are distracting kids. They are making kids' attention span so short that they can't complete their assignments. It's very difficult for kids to even read and complete a book, and it's the phones. The phones are the culprit. We don't have to pretend that we don't see what's happening. And even among adults, our attention span is more divided, and it's very hard to focus. And the best way to alleviate that concern and allow kids to really focus on learning, and even the social aspects of school, is to holster those phones. They just really don't belong in the classroom. They can be available so you can correspond with your parents for pickup, but that's really the only legitimate educational purpose related to your phone. Phone use should be restricted in every school, in my opinion. It serves no educational purpose. Kids are having a really difficult time concentrating, and it just doesn't add to the educational experience. And I think, you know, so much of our time as adults and as kids is spent online that I think kids would find it to be a relief to spend several hours every day without that device in their hand and right in their face.
Representative Matayoshi, you know, this morning we've heard a lot from folks who are in favor of this. I wonder what kind of pushback, if any, you're getting at the legislature.
I'm not getting a lot of pushback at the legislature. I think people understand that this policy will benefit students. I think the pushback that we got before from just the idea of a general cell phone ban was certain teachers wanted to possibly use it in their classrooms for classroom usage for a lesson or whatnot. Some parents were concerned that if there's a school shooting or some other emergency, that they won't have immediate access to their child or their child won't be able to call for help. Also for medical uses, if you have a insulin pump or something that's controlled by a phone. But all of those exemptions are in the bill itself and in the DOE policy, to be fair. So because of those exemptions, I feel like a lot of people are more comfortable with the cell phone ban. I haven't heard a lot of pushback from anyone in the community once those exemptions were explained to them.
You know, Millie, we do know that HSTA has not taken, that's the teachers union, for folks who aren't familiar, has not taken a formal position on this. What do you hear from educators on both sides of this issue?
So I think educators completely understand that instructionally cell phones are a problem. They interrupt instruction. That is an issue. I think there's a big concern that teachers feel they'll be abandoned with the enforcement. So, right, if we're left to be the phone police, we're left to handle parents who are angry on our own. We're maybe not supported by administration. Even in our conversation this morning, what I think was going to be super important is transparency on all levels. Okay, so here's the policy. Here's how it's a force of the school. Everyone needs to be aware that the expectation, you know, families, kids, teachers, that we all know what's going on. Because I think sometimes the policies are so fractured that folks really don't know what is the rule in that space.
Okay. Well, this is The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. Today, we are discussing restrictions on cell phone use in Hawaii schools. Do you think that phones have a place in the classroom? You can join our discussion, too, by calling 808-941-3689. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.
Support for HPR comes from VertAccount, an outsourced accounting firm in Hawaii. For 15 years, offering accounting and bookkeeping support to local businesses and nonprofits. Learn more at vertaccount.com.
In our lifetimes, we have never seen the federal government get involved this much in content decisions and policing content decisions on broadcast television. This is an amazing amount of pressure on the networks to toe the line during war with real threats of governmental punishment.
I'm Rachel Abrams. That's Today on the Daily from the New York Times.
Beginning this evening at 6:30.
Support for HPR comes from BAMP Project, presenting Iron and Wine, the indie folk and Americana singer-songwriter performing tonight at Castle Theater at the Mac. Tickets at bampproject.com.
Welcome back to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. I'm Yenji Denise in for Catherine Cruz this morning. Our guests in the studio are Representative Scott Mariyoshi, Sarah Milianta-Laffin, teacher at Ilima Intermediate, and Anson Lee, a senior at Kalani High School. We've been talking about a possible cell phone ban in schools, no phones or digital devices that can communicate like a smartwatch allowed during the day. Even if kids are not actively using them, there is still this question of focus. What happens when a phone is in our midst, even near nearby. Therapist Britt Young says the difference is immediate and noticeable.
When I have a child, for example, or a teen in my session even, and they bring their phone in, there's a big difference between a child who comes in and they put their phone in their purse or something and they don't even know it's there, and the client who comes in and puts it on the sofa. It's so fascinating because even as we're talking and doing our session, the client who puts their phone on the sofa sort of wants to show me, oh, yeah, this, and then they're picking it up going, oh, I think someone called. Oh, wait, let me just get to this text. And you can see in real time the difference having a phone sort of nearby makes. So, you know, on the other hand, somebody who doesn't have their phone really accessible is engaging with me, we're making progress. And the other
the other clients is very, you know, disrupted and disjointed. So you can imagine in the classroom, right, like even the presence of it being there, there's sort of this understanding it's there, it could go off at any time, there might be something important, versus if it's not even accessible, the difference between a phone being even nearby and a phone being inaccessible is really a difference between night and day.
Representative Matayoshi, I want to get your thoughts, you know, not only on the distraction piece, which Britt talked about there, but also just having it be there, having a digital device be there, and the freedom that you get from just being a kid, right?
Yeah, I think we think of our cell phones as conduits of information, but I think as adults, we sometimes forget that they're also recording devices, they're cameras, they're video recorders, they're they can stream online at the touch of a button. And from what I've been hearing, it creates a lot of anxiety for kids. I'm thinking back to my middle school days. You know, if I thought I might be on camera at all times, I think some of the more silly, free, you know, carefree things that I might have done that would be mortifyingly embarrassing were I to watch them now, I probably wouldn't have done it. You know, me and my friends couldn't be ourselves if we were afraid that someone, maybe not even our friend, but someone behind us, someone in, you know, down the hall could be recording and it could be on the internet forever. So I think it does bring a lot of peace of mind, I think, to students if those recording devices are not even part of the picture.
You know, it's interesting, Millie. I have children myself, and my daughter's only 9, but I do notice that when she's with her friends and she, you know, will grab my phone and want to take a selfie, there is this hyper awareness that children have that I really did not have about appearance and recording. And I don't know, it's very different than when I was growing up.
I think the research is really interesting. I always pay attention at the Capitol, like what books are in offices. And a lot of people are reading Jonathan Haidt's The Anxious Generation. And what his research says is that girls, when phones are present in classroom spaces, really suffer more from like social comparing and like perfectionism, right? Where you have that and the visual, like the way the phones work, like TikTok and Instagram, they're constantly focused on what they look like, how they look. I've had a girl student tell me that, like, she's like, well, miss, I didn't come to school today because I didn't look good. Like, so the idea of like, if you could be on camera at any moment, you know, you have to be camera ready, and that's intense. Whereas my boys, there was the piece with like that the author talks about with withdrawal and disengagement. So boys moved away from the real world into kind of virtual worlds when that device is there at any moment. And again, it just changes the focus. And so how do you focus on algebra when the whole world's in your pocket?
Yeah. Anson, I wondered if you would share, you know, earlier we were talking, you were sharing an anecdote about your chemistry class, and I wonder if you would share that with us now.
Yeah. So, at school, so I have a teacher who's taught me honors chem and AP chem, and I kind of revisited him this past year in the classroom. And when I walked in, I saw these underclassmen. A lot of them were on their phones, kind of disengaged from the classroom itself, and kind of just not really paying attention. And I thought back to my, like, to when I was in that class, and I was like, wow, we weren't really like this. Like, it was a really noticeable difference, to the point where even the rest of my friends who took that class with me were like, yeah, we weren't like this. And this is kind of becoming sort of a problem where these phones are really taking away from learning in the classroom and just even being there, right? That freedom, if you don't really know how to control yourself, you're more inclined to pick it up, be distracted, and kind of lose focus.
Yeah, interesting. You are listening to The Conversation. We're talking today about a potential ban of cell phones in public schools. We'd like to know if you support that. This would be a K-12 bell-to-bell ban. You can join our discussion. Call us at 941-3689. You know, we heard earlier, for many families, this is not just an at-school issue. It really is a parenting one. We spoke with Elizabeth Newcamp. She's a Hawaii mom of 3 and host of the Slate Parenting podcast, Care and Feeding. She says all of this discussion really should start at home.
Every parent has to know it is their responsibility. You cannot count on anyone else to do this for you. You have to be having the conversations with your kids about phones and usage. And unfortunately, I think so much of that starts with looking at what your own phone usage looks like. Like, I find when I'm triggered by my teen's phone usage, I'm often kind of speaking to myself, right? Like, I also can get sucked into Instagram or texting with someone or miss a conversation or prioritize this. And so I really have to check myself and be a good model, put my phone aside too, before I can expect them to do the same thing.
I mean, I think that any parent hears that and totally identifies. Scott, I see you. Representative Matayoshi, I see you nodding your head. What do you think in terms of parents also having to model this good behavior?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when we get home from work, it's the easiest thing to do to try to pull out your cell phone and start checking social media or your emails or whatnot. And you're by doing that, you're disengaging with your kids. I know my wife and I have had to have conversations of like, okay, when we get home, you know, especially when the kids are awake, we have to put away our phones, you know, especially at the dinner table. But let's talk about our days, play games, you know, what animals start, name an animal starts with the letter F kind of thing. But that level of engagement is something kids especially desperately need. And parents, if the parents are not modeling good behavior, then the kids see that and they think that they need to also be engaged with the screen at all times as well.
Yeah. Amelia, I'm curious, do you think that the teachers should also be subject to a bell-to-bell ban?
Whew, that's a tough one because I will say so often you'd be surprised how much school communication also comes through your cell phone when it's like, okay, send this kid to the office, like go ahead and but I agree the importance is like we're all modeling, but I do think it has to be that we're all in this together. So I guess in my perfect world, what I would see is like we start a school year by coming together, you know, in the cafeteria and hearing about policies, but also some parent education, because I think sometimes parents are not aware the way that we may as adults consume our cell phone are not how the kids necessarily use them. And so it's just saying of just like it's a different space, but I think the education would help everybody to understand why this is an issue. I also think adults often we have this myth of being able to multitask, and so we really do believe that we are on the phone and engaging with our kids in the same space, and it's not always the case.
I know that is not the case for me. Let's go to Rakby on Oahu. Good morning. What do you have to share with us?
Hi, I'm currently a senior at Kohoku High School, and I'd like to share my experience with the differences between classrooms that do have phone usage, and some teachers will actually have the students put the phones in their bags or like put them in a separate area in the classroom to charge. And what I've noticed is that the classrooms that do put the phones like in the air, like away, there's a lot more student teacher engagement. So like the students are talking to the teacher more, they're asking more questions, and it feels like kind of like a better learning environment than like when the students are kind of like in their own bubble, like on their phones, you know? That's just from my experience.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And Anson, I'd love for you to build on that. You know, what's interesting about what he's pointing out, it's not just the individual, okay, I put my phone away, I'm going to pay attention. But if my classmate sitting next to me is on their phone, that also affects my learning environment.
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's good that he brought that up, because I definitely see that happen in my classrooms too, especially in my AP Cal class. Our teacher has us put our phones in this phone parking lot, and immediately during that class, we're in there for like 2 hours because we go out into advisory to cover all the content that we need, and we stay engaged, but he does give us a break. So, but for the most part, we do stay engaged, and all of us are actively collaborating. And yeah, no, when like I see my classmate or something go on their phone, I'm like, okay, it must be okay for me to go on my phone, so I'm gonna go ahead and go on my phone too and just like chill for a little bit. And then when the teacher starts talking again, maybe I'll put my phone down or something like that, right? So it does contribute to that whole learning environment where having putting phones away does really make that classroom that much better.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. Let's go to now to Roger, who's calling in from Lihue. Roger, good morning.
Hey, aloha, how are you?
Aloha, please go ahead.
I was just wanted to make a quick comment about maybe a middle of the road or a balance. Sometimes the emergency factor is definitely prevalent, but, you know, I think there's a sense of a little bit of responsibility that the kids are, you know, responsibility is increasing as the younger as they get. So I think there might need to be a fine line or a balance because of medical issues and or whatever emergencies and so forth. But like, I do definitely think there needs to be kind of some type of a restriction or monitoring for just frivolous usage. And again, thank you so much for covering a hot topic. Thank you.
Roger, thank you so much. So Representative Matayoshi, would love for you to answer Roger's concern about emergency and legitimate needs. There are some exemptions in this bill.
Yeah, I built in exemptions specifically in this bill for medical, for teacher lessons, school-wide emergencies, and if you need it for IEP or ADA compliance requirements. So we definitely are conscious of sometimes a student does need a cell phone for a very legitimate purpose, or a teacher does want the kids to pull out their cell phone to take maybe an online quiz or to participate in another way. And I wanted to leave the schools that flexibility to participate in that way. But he was talking about responsibility, too. I wasn't sure if he meant that students need to start learning how to take care of an expensive device or whatnot. I felt like we learned responsibility just fine when we were growing up without cell phones, be it not losing your books, your jacket, your shoes. I lost a lot of jackets, you could tell, ask my mom. But just having responsibility over your own personal possessions, it doesn't necessarily need to be a $1,000 phone to teach you responsibility.
Okay. Let's hear also from Senator Schatz. He agrees with you, Representative, that there are other ways to handle emergencies.
Look, we all survived without our phones. We all went to school without phones in our pocket. And when there was an emergency, you would call the administrative office, and then someone would walk over to your classroom and say, Brian, come to the office. Your mom wants to talk to you. And first of all, that's a very rare occasion. But second of all, there's still a method to deal with emergencies, to correspond between parent and child. We don't have to have this instantaneous connectivity. And it's not just that you have the connectivity with your parents. You end up having connectivity with all these algorithmically boosted social media platforms and AIs that are designed, literally designed by the smartest people in the world to addict you, to distract you, to upset you, to polarize you, to make you angry. And none of those things are conducive to learning.
Yeah, I take the point that we could all go to the school office and call our mom or dad in an emergency. Let's hear now from Mara, who's calling in from Kapolei. Good morning, Mara.
Hi. I wanted to call in support of some kind of ban on technology on campus. I'm a substitute teacher and have been for since pre-pandemic. And so I know how much the phones can distract students in the classroom. And I agree with Millie, who, by the way, is an amazing teacher. I have substituted for her before, and her children love her. I don't want to be the phone police either, especially as a substitute. I don't even have the ability to build as much of a bond with each child. And as it is, like, they see me and they're already disappointed, and then I have to be the phone police too. But I've had an issue with my own middle schooler having been cyberbullied because kids will whip out their phones and start recording things on campus if the adult in the room isn't paying attention or there's no adult around. He's actually been in the process of doing projects for school and had a teammate, a classmate, pull out their iPhone and FaceTime a teammate off campus while cyberbullying him right on campus. So if not a complete ban on the devices, which I understand, I want him to be able to call me after school if practice gets canceled and he needs to be picked up early. But I, as a parent, I have a program on his phone where I can shut it down. I can say during this time and this time on this day and this day, the phone just can't be used except for a 911 call or a call to me. And I think that would be, at least requiring something like that might be a good compromise.
Mara, thank you so much for sharing that, your experience both of being a teacher and what you described about your child. And I'm so sorry that that happened to you, because that sounds just terrible. And Millie, I wonder, you know, how these phones kind of amplify bullying.
Absolutely. I think it just, in a way that no teacher prep program prepared me to how to handle this. All this stuff is brand new as we're trying to handle conflict resolution in real time. Also, the conflict out of the classroom comes back into the classroom, which just disrupts learning. And a lot of our thinking about administrators spend a lot of time investigating social media issues or social media fights or what's going on. And that's just taking away from the instructional focus that a school should be focused on. And I totally recognize Mara's name. Thank you, Mara, for calling in.
Yeah, Anson, what are your thoughts about the role of bullying and cyberbullying, you know, when it comes to having the phones accessible at school?
That is definitely a prominent issue that is covered a lot, especially like growing up in elementary, middle school. Yeah, I have had these teachers come in and talk about ethically using social media and how to properly use it in hopes that we would kind of learn to use it in a more respectful way and stuff like that. But not all the time do kids listen. Kids might find something funny. You might have like a group of friends looking at another person and be like, hey, look, he looks funny. Let's record him, take a video of him, right? And share it, because that's what kids want to do now, is they want to spread more what they think is funny and show it to other people, show it to other friends, get laughs, get likes, get views on social media. And it kind of feeds into that issue that Senator Schatz brought up, was like social media has become addictive and it kind of just grabs you and pulls you in to that world, to that alternate world, and it just disorients your own view of what's actually reality.
Yeah, Representative Matayoshi, briefly before we go to break, I mean, this is exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, this is exactly what I was talking about. This bill is made to try to protect our kids from other kids in the school. We've always had bullying, you know, going back to the start of time. But now when you're bullied, you can be bullied about something you did years ago, almost a lifetime ago, because everything remains online forever. And that kind of anxiety that kids feel of, if I make a mistake, will that be with me forever, is a much higher stake than, oh, I made a mistake, my friends will laugh, and then we'll move on to the next thing.
Thank you for that. You're tuned to The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. We do have to take a quick break, but you can join our discussion when we come back by calling 808-941-3689. Stay with us.
Support for HPR comes from Nereid Hawaii, which supports nonprofits committed to helping families of agricultural workers and retirees with affordable housing, such as the Kunia Village Development Corporation, NereidHawaii.com.
A shooting that shook up Boston.
Boston, record emergency 510.
My wife's been shot, I've been shot.
A massive search for the suspect.
I feel like when they first heard this case, they just knew that you was near the projects, you said a black man did it, that's all we need to know.
Why police bought into a racist hoax on the next Reveal.
Beginning this evening at 7, following The Daily.
Support for The Conversation comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributor The Hidden Nene.
Welcome back. This morning, we've been discussing a possible ban on phones in Hawaii public schools. And as we touched on with that last caller just a moment ago, the debate over phones in schools is really part of a bigger question about how much access kids should have to tech at all. We're seeing growing momentum around social media in some countries, including France and most recently Australia. There are age restrictions now in place. Here in the U.S., there is bipartisan support to do something similar. We did speak to Senator Schatz about a bill that he's co-sponsored to ban social media for kids under 13 and also limit how the algorithms target teens.
I have a bill with Ted Cruz, and, you know, Ted and I don't agree on very much, but we think that there's really no positive use case for any kid being on social media under the age of 13. And we just don't think that when kids' bodies and brains are still very much in flux and in development, that these very powerful algorithms should basically hijack their frontal lobes. And so we have a bill to ban social media use for kids 13 and under. And then for the kids who are not yet adults, but still may be using social media, we ban the algorithmic boosting of the feed. So what you would see in that scenario is sort of like how Facebook used to be, which is you actually, when you look at your friends, it's actually your friends. And if someone wants to post a picture of surfing or a sunset or, you know, some poke they ate or whatever it is, you can see that. But the really dangerous aspect of social media is these algorithms boosting content that is maximally designed to upset you. Because the problem is that the more upset that a post makes you, the more engagement that post will get. And the more engagement that post gets, the more money the social media company makes. And so they have a profit motive in maximally upsetting an entire generation of kids. And that's actually what they've done. And so we have a more anxious, more polarized, more grouchy, less focused academically generation than in many, many years. And, you know, I don't think we should pretend not to know what's going on. It's the phones.
It's the phones. So, Representative Matayoshi, would you support policies that the senator has outlined there going beyond the school day and actually regulating how these platforms target children?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we can do it on the state level. Australia is its own country. We are not our own country in Hawaii, no matter. Well, that's a little bit of a complicated question, I guess. We are not currently our own country. I have a bill coming through my committee right now proposing to ban social media for kids under a certain age. There are legitimate legal concerns with that bill. I haven't decided whether I want to hear it yet, but as far as the concept goes, I'm all for it. I absolutely agree with Senator Schatz that there's just no or very, very little benefit to allowing young kids to use social media, and the harms to it vastly outweigh the goods.
Okay, let's get to another caller. Moses is on the line from Waikiki. Moses, good morning. What do you want to share with us?
Hi, good morning. I just want to say I completely agree with the notion of social media. I myself personally just got off social media because I noticed how it just put up things that I wouldn't like, and I found myself being very negative and overwhelmed with like just negative feelings because of social media, so I got off it. But as far as getting phones out of these kids' hands and blaming the phones, like the phone is just a tool, just like a hammer or anything else, you know, like, so I feel like the school should find a way to incorporate the phones inside of the curriculum, because these kids are going to have phones regardless after school and after they finish school. So why not teach them how to use it more effectively and responsibly?
Moses, thank you so much for that. Millie, I would love to get your thoughts on that. I mean, are we asking too much of teachers to now also have to take this on?
I love what the caller mentioned, though, because we don't teach a child to swim by throwing them into a hurricane. So true literacy is having agency to know when to put the screen away. So I think that's by modeling our behavior. I do see that teachable moment of like making sure that digital literacy is incorporated into education. We really have to have it now more than ever. But I do think, you know, there's something about a lot of all of society's ills coming through the classroom, and it's a lot for teachers to manage. And so I absolutely empathize with fellow teachers who are just like, we cannot wear all of these hats, and we need families, we need legislators, we need community to support us so that we can educate your children.
Yeah. Anson, as a student, I mean, what are your thoughts on that? You are going to have to go out into the real world, so to speak, and you do that anyway, no matter your age, you exist in the world. But, you know, you're graduating this year, and do you feel like if you had not had exposure to phones throughout this whole time, it would have made a difference for you?
I wouldn't say it would have made a difference for me, honestly, because I feel for myself, there was a pretty good balance between using a phone during break or using a phone at school and not using a phone at school, kind of the thing. And I want to agree with Millie and what Moses said about implementing or like digital literacy, right? That's a really big thing. And it also comes up now with AI technology, generative ChatGPT. How can we teach students to effectively use these kind of tools so they don't grow up viewing it as like a cheat tool? And previously a caller mentioned kind of it's a at-home situation too, where children, they learn by observing at a really early age. And it kind of just goes to show, it's like, if they see that people are using their phones all the time, they're going to start using their phones too. They're going to think it's okay to be using their phones in certain situations, when really it's taking away from social interactions, valuable moments, and experiences.
Yeah, Representative Matayoshi, what about the caller's point that these are tools just like hammers, and we need to learn how to use them?
Yeah, but you don't hand an 8-year-old a hammer generally. So I agree with the caller that the kids are going to be exposed to phones throughout their whole lives from now. I mean, that's just going to be this generation. That's why there's an exemption in the bill to allow cell phones in classrooms for lessons and things like that. I think that, unfortunately, it is going to be the teacher's job to educate them on how to distinguish fact from fiction online. And the best way to do that is to have them pull out their phones and scroll their Facebook feed and try to determine, find good examples of things that are fact and good examples of things that are there to just enrage you and to take up your attention and to engage you. So I do want cell phones in schools during lessons to teach kids about cell phones, that both the benefits and the dangers of it. And that's why that exemption is in the bill.
Okay. We are at the point in our conversation this morning where we have reached our final thought phase. And so I just want to hear from each of you. Millie, start with you. What do you hope callers take away from our talk this morning?
I'm so glad we had this conversation. And I just want people to know we're asking teachers to compete with a $1 billion algorithm designed to be addictive. And so we don't bring slot machines into the classroom. We shouldn't have smartphones in that instructional time space if we want to make sure we have the most educated populace possible and the future of our states in our classrooms today. And we need to make sure they're cared for.
Okay. Anson, where do you want to leave us this morning?
I am supportive of this phone ban, especially for elementary and middle school kids. However, I do think for high school kids, there should kind of be a lax environment towards this, or a little more less restrictions, because as you go into high school, I feel like phones can be used to capture memories, spread news, get information around, and kind of be used as a tool within the classroom. But especially for elementary and middle school students, these children are still developing, right? And these phones can put negative images into their mind, can kind of shape their own view of the world and hinder their ability to succeed in the future.
Okay. And Representative Matayoshi, for folks who want to track this bill and engage with you on this, where do we go from here?
You can go to the Capitol website. It's HB1559. It's going to be heard on Friday, actually, in the Senate, because it's crossed over. So if you'd like to submit testimony, now's the time. Go and find that bill and write something in.
And your final thought on why you are pushing this forward?
I think a lot of the teachers who I taught with and are still teaching would agree that attention is a resource in the classroom. You make your lesson as engaging as possible to draw in students' attention. So why would we want devices in there competing for that resource that you're trying as a teacher so hard to draw in towards your lesson? There is really, I don't want to say there's no place for cell phones in the classroom, but there just isn't a place for a cell phone in the classroom generally. And I think society is beginning to recognize that.
Thank you so much for being with us this morning. We do thank our guests, Representative Scott Matayoshi, Anson Lee, and Sarah Milianta Laffin. And we thank you, the listener, all of you who called in and joined in our show today. Do you have a comment you'd like to share about what you heard? Call our talkback line at 808-792-8217. You can also send us an email to talkback@hawaiipublicradio.org. And if you'd like to listen back to today's show or share it with someone, check out the Conversation podcast at hawaiipublicradio.org. I'm Yenji Denise in for Catherine Cruz. Join us tomorrow for more of The Conversation.